Chapter 3.
"You all right?" Darryl Mercer asked. They were in gym class, waiting for Mr. Dooling to take attendance. Tyree hadn't said a word to Darryl since the blow-up in the cafeteria last week. The episode only seemed to make Tyree the target of even more jokes at school.
"Why are you talking to me?"
Tyree asked. Each time he saw Darryl's face, the scene in the alley replayed in his mind.
"Well, after everything," Darryl stammered, "with the guys in the cafeteria and all, I just thought..."
"Look, just 'cause all that happened don't mean we're friends. We both know that ain't true. You don't gotta pretend," Tyree said, glancing at his cast.
"Besides, the whole school's gonna think I'm a punk if you stick up for me again."
"Who cares what they think?"
"Like you even understand," Tyree grumbled.
"Are you serious?" Darryl said. "After what you did to me all year?"
"Oh, so that's what this is about? You trying to rub it in my face?"
"No, I'm just saying, or maybe you feeling sorry for me after what you saw," Tyree said, a wave of bitterness sweeping over him.
"I don't need you or anyone looking down on me."
"It's not like that. Man, you gotta stop."
"Stop what?"
"You don't even know what's going on, Mercer, so don't tell me what I gotta do," Tyree fumed.
"Pretend what you saw never happened. Go hang with Harold or your little wrestling crew. I don't need no one watching my back, especially not you. You hear me?"
"Quiet back there,"
Mr. Dooling yelled from the front of the gym.
"Yeah, Mr. Dooling, tell this boy to be quiet,"
Tyree said. It took all his effort to hide the emotion in his voice, a mix of anger, hurt, and shame. Darryl shook his head and turned away. Tyree avoided him for the rest of the period, sitting on the bleachers with his broken wrist while everyone else ran laps on the track behind the high school. When class finally ended, Tyree rushed straight to his locker. He was dialing his combination when he spotted Lark at the end of the hallway. She was coming toward him. He pretended he didn't notice, hoping he could sneak out without having to face her. He yanked open his locker, grabbed his jacket, and slammed it shut. He was ready to dash down the hallway when she called out,
"Tyree, wait!"
He took a step, but then stopped himself, fighting the urge to walk away and leave her there in the hallway. She was at his side in seconds, though he could barely stand to look at her. Shame and guilt pulled his eyes away from hers.
"What do you want?"
he asked.
"I didn't mean for that to happen. I'm sorry."
"For what?" He avoided her eyes. He didn't want her sympathy. It only made him feel worse.
"Everybody in the cafeteria the other day. They shouldn't have said those things to you."
Tyree shrugged.
"Why not? Maybe they're right," he mumbled. "Look, I ain't got time to talk right now. I'm grounded and my dad is gonna flip out if I'm late."
A crowd of students passed by, and Lark stepped closer to him.
"Here,"
she said, holding out the iPod.
"Take this."
"Nah, it's yours." He refused to take it and turned to walk away, but Lark grabbed his arm. The sleeve of his sweatshirt pulled back, revealing the bone-like cast. She gasped in surprise and let go awkwardly.
"I'm sorry, Tyree, but I can't keep it. It belongs to you. When you get the money, you can pay me back then."
"Girl, please, just let me do this," he said, annoyed at how desperate he sounded. He needed to repay her somehow, to prove to himself he could do something right, at least to her. Just one thing, no matter what his father or anyone else said.
"I never should have lied to you and taken your money," he added,
remembering the way Lark had looked at him. He could feel her staring at him, but the shame he felt kept his eyes locked on the floor. All he could see was Lark's heavy book bag. It was covered in tiny tan hairs. She seemed to notice and started brushing them off.
"My cat," she said, as if she were slightly embarrassed. "She's shedding. You like cats?"
she asked, as if she was trying to change the subject.
"They all right, I guess," he replied.
For years he had wanted to have a pet, but Dad always said no.
"We have two of them. You can borrow Ginger if you want. She's the one who's shedding. Your cast might look good covered in cat fur," she teased.
He looked up at her then. He noticed her nervous smile, the faint scar above her lip, her dark hair pulled back off her round face. He could see why other girls used to tease her. She seemed vulnerable somehow. He had known that the day he lied and took her money.
That's why I did it, he thought guiltily. Jamie's right. Lark's too good for me.
Look, I gotta go, he stepped away from her.
Just keep it, all right?
I can't, but I got an idea, she said.
She reached into her book bag and pulled out a thick black marker.
You promised to pay me back, right? Girl, I told you I would.
Good,
she said with a grin as she pulled off the marker cap and began drawing on his cast.
What are you doing? You'll see. This is so you remember.
A few seconds later, she backed away. Fancy letters now covered a section of his cast. T's promise, they read. The letters were strong and angular, standing out bold and black against the cast like the murals painted on vacant buildings in the neighborhood.
That looks good. Where'd you learn that?
Her face lit up at his compliment.
Practice, I guess. I used to draw whenever I got mad at something. I guess I got mad a lot.
Oh, so now you mad at me?
Not anymore, she admitted. I know you're going to pay me back. I can tell,
she replied, flashing him a smile that made his face warm.
How come you so sure?
I don't know. I just am. Jamie thinks you're trying to play me again. But I told her she was wrong. You don't seem to be playing. But if you are, I'll never forgive you. Not again, she said. Here.
Lark handed Tyree the iPod. For a second, their hands brushed, and he could feel the warmth of her skin and the slight tremble in her fingers. He was surprised at how much her threat bothered him. He slipped the iPod into his sweatshirt pocket and covered up his cast. The hallway was emptying. He remembered his father and how he had to go straight home after school. Already he was late.
I really gotta go. My dad's gonna kill me, he said, turning away from her. I'm gonna pay you back, though.
You better. You promised, she said,
gently tapping his cast and grinning back at him. There was no way he would let her down, no matter what anyone said, not even Dad. Tyree glanced twice at his cast as he followed his usual route home, rushing past Bluford's blacktop courts and cutting through the Superfoods lot to Union Street. He knew if he kept the pace, he would be home on time. In the afternoon sun, with Lark's smile on his mind, Tyree thought the area seemed nothing like it had that ghostly morning with Dad. A young woman with a stroller crossed the street to Graham's. A few Bluford students walked nearby. The heavy scent of hamburgers from nearby Fatburger filled the air. Tyree wanted to stop in, but he had no money and no time. That's when he noticed a help wanted sign posted on the door.
Don't forget to get Bugs Cheeseburger,
someone called out. Tyree turned to see a golden Nissan sedan. It was parked along the curb just a half a block ahead. Its chrome rims sparkled beneath dark tinted windows. Two kids stood next to it. One was a young boy he had never seen before, maybe a third or fourth grader. But the other was an older, light-skinned boy with a wiry build. He had yelled out to someone who just slipped inside Fatburger. Tyree knew his face. They had met on 43rd Street. He was the guy who told Tyree to come to the lot in the middle of the night to pick up his gun. Tyree did what the boy said and got beaten up and robbed. The money stolen that night was Lark's. Tyree froze in the middle of the sidewalk. His heart started pounding. His hands tingled. He knew he had to get home, that he should just walk away. He could almost hear Mr. Mitchell urging him to do just that, but he couldn't stop himself.
Yo, what you doing here?
Tyree yelled. The kid turned. Immediately his eyes narrowed. Tyree could see that he recognized him too.
Man, you're the one that took my money, Tyree growled. Give it back.
I didn't take no money from you. What you talking about?
Tyree rushed to the car and moved right to the boy's face. The younger kid stepped back and ran off. Tyree ignored him.
Don't lie to me. You told me to meet you and I got jumped. Now give me my money back before I bust your face.
Tyree's pulse throbbed in his neck. He knew he had to go home, but he couldn't walk away from the kid who set him up, especially not after seeing Lark.
Look, I didn't take your money, the kid said, looking at Tyree's broken arm. And if I was you, I'd get out of here, because you ain't over your head right now.
Just give me my money, Tyree shouted.
I ain't giving you nothing. Now get out of my face, the boy said, shoving Tyree back.
He stumbled on the curb and his cast thudded against the Nissan. Tyree regained his footing and charged back, just as a blur appeared at his side. Thunk! Pain exploded into Tyree's ribs, making him double over. He barely realized he had been hit before another blow hammered down on the back of his head. He slammed to the ground, scraping the side of his face on the curb. Warren's iPod flew from his pocket.
See?
The boy said, standing over him with his hands balled up into fists, ready to strike.
What you gonna do now, huh? You should have listened to me.
Tyree looked up to see Jupiter James leaning over him. His saggy jeans were gathered over heavy boots that were just inches from Tyree's face.
You again? Jupiter mocked. What's wrong? You forgot what happened last time?
That's enough, Jupe. Come on, I already told you I don't want no trouble around here, said a different voice, older and deeper than the others.
This ain't trouble, Jupiter replied. He the one that started it, right, Keenan?
The light-skinned boy nodded and spit on the ground just inches from Tyree. Tyree was stunned. Just like Dad said, the crew from 43rd Street was in his neighborhood. Even more surprising was the man standing behind Jupiter smoking a cigarette and wearing a black leather jacket. It was Londell, Jupiter's big brother. Tyree thought he was locked up at Cliffside Prison like Warren. Everyone knew he had been involved in a shooting last year where Roy Lynn Bailey, Amberlynn's older brother, got grazed by a bullet. How could he be out so soon? Tyree grabbed his ribs and sat up. He felt as if he was going to vomit.
Next time this won't be the only thing you lose, Jupiter said, leaning over and picking up the iPod.
No, you can't take that, Tyree charged. That's my brother's.
I don't see his name on it,
Jupe mocked, slipping it into his pocket and moving toward the car.
You see a name on a key?
Yeah, it says Jupe,
Keenan replied, laughing.
No, that's my brother's, Tyree repeated. He in Cliffside. Come on, give it back.
Jupiter stopped for a second. Londell turned at the mention of the prison.
Who's your brother?
He asked.
Warren Hobbs. You know him?
Warren Hobbs?
A smug grin washed across Londell's face.
You mean the prof? You're his little brother?
He said with a mean laugh.
Who's the prof?
Keenan asked.
Just a fool who needs an education about how things really work out here,
Londell said, starting the car.
Your brother can't protect you. He can't even protect himself.
What you mean?
Tyree asked, pulling himself up off the ground.
Come on,
Londell urged. The crew crowded into the Nissan. Londell glanced at his cell phone and tossed his cigarette butt at Tyree's feet.
Be careful who you're messing with next time, unless you want that other arm broke,
he warned. He then gunned the accelerator and the Nissan roared off, leaving Tyree in a cloud of smoke.
No!
Tyree groaned, rising to his feet as the car tore off. People on the corner watched, but no one said a word. A man passed by in a gray sedan looking right at him but didn't stop. The young woman with the baby stroller rushed away as if she were scared of him. Tyree rubbed his cheek and saw a smear of blood on his fingers from where he had hit the concrete. Outrage and disbelief warred inside him. He had been robbed again, twice by the same people, and they even knew his brother.
He can't even protect himself.
What did that mean? What had happened to Warren? Tyree stomped the curb and cursed. He wished he still had the gun. He pictured himself aiming it at Jupiter, making him give back everything he stole. Then he would turn it on Londell and find out the truth about Warren. But he knew it was all a stupid fantasy. The reality was that he was alone on the sidewalk, bleeding, and the guys who jumped him were free. And Warren was locked up and in danger, and his father hated him. And no one seemed to care if he had his skull stomped right there on the street. Tyree felt cursed as he stared back at the strangers who ignored him. It took all his strength not to scream.